You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, the changing weather kind of affected me a little bit.
A little bit, just a tad.
We go from like 70 in the day and 20 at night. You know, you're going to get that, but it's Midwest living for you.
My allergies been act up around this time of year, so I know what you mean. Hey, Lone, how are you, sir?
Doing all right, man. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Love the hat.
Oh, this thing?
Yeah.
The Christmas Story hat.
Yeah. Ask what it is. Yeah. Christmas Story.
Click. Yeah, I forgot my headphones at the school, and this set of headphones does not have any padding, so now I have padding.
There you go.
Padding, this is going to be a great...
Intuitive.
Yes, very smart.
Yep.
Very smart. My man DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good, Joey?
Yeah, man.
Yeah?
Everything's good. Remember when you say... I'm Major 7th and I have the shirts to prove it.
Yeah. You want me to start doing it again?
No, I
used to always wonder, why does the shirt prove that you're Major 7th?
Just a bad marketing tactic, man. That's all it was.
Okay. I don't know what made me think about that, though.
I moved a couple off of it, though, if that helped.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Cool.
Because that's the goal, ain't it? Ain't that the goal?
You balling?
No, I ain't balling. Okay. No.
Just wonder.
I'm not balling. Shout out to my man Pretty Tony in the building as well. Had an idea. I actually saw an interview with Exhibit. Exhibit's been mad. Like, he's really been mad about rap.
Well, no, I'm mad. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad.
Yeah, he said basically Exhibit was like, he's sick of hip-hop and artists lack emotional investment. But I took something else from the interview because we've heard OG rappers say this. This has been a trend at this point. But there's one line in here where he says, he's talking about hip-hop's influence. He says, you see country music having elements of hip-hop. You see pop music. He said, when's the last time you saw a rock band that didn't have a hip hop element in it? So he's talking about the influence of hip hop and other musical culture. So that got me to thinking, historically, we always talk about hip hop influencing other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But if we flip it, what has hip hop borrowed from other cultures?
Everything.
Yeah, let's see. Jazz.
Because we always talk about how people quote unquote culture vulture the hip hop and how hip hop pops up and everything, but I don't know if we ever run through what we've borrowed. When I say we are part of the hip hop.
The thing about it is, a lot of the genres that were borrowed for hip hop were still started by the same culture. So
I see where you're going.
At the end of the day, it's almost like a melting pot. But I mean, given certain sub-genres of things have been kind of used and interpolated in hip-hop, but as a whole...
It's a lot. Jay Moore, you jumped out the window like it's just everywhere.
I mean, look, you know, when we talk about breakbeats, we can go back to the beginning. You know, they were taken from jazz records, from rock records, from R&B, from disco records, you know, and so those are the other genres of music are the building blocks of hip hop.
Funk.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, OK, now hip hop is established and it's not just some sub genre that we can't look away from. Now everybody's kids, even if they wind up liking country, even if they wind up liking, you know, straight up pop music or even Latin. Like, you know, when you hear Bad Bunny, you know, that's hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, I hear elements of Taylor Swift. Like, you know, she worked with Soundwave on her last record.
Mm-hmm.
That's hip hop. When you're listening to country music.
Yes.
You know, once that Nelly and did that joint with, was it Tim McGraw or whoever? Like, you know, there are other people who said, wow, let's try to build on this sound without even bringing any rappers in. Like, now there is an element, the way the drums are programmed, the way it's written.
The melody.
Sometimes there's a rap in the country song.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty sure there's establishment country that doesn't like it. But, you know, even if you're a kid from Nashville, you grew up with G-Unit and everything. Like, you grew
down
up,
the street,
you know, you grew up with... Now there's not this thing where there's this generational situation to where the people who influence genres are just afraid of hip hop, or they're like, nah, that's what those black kids from the ghetto are doing over there. It's like, no, this is what everybody's doing. And it influences the music that we, you know, we might take a little bit, you know, might take a little bit of the, you know, the Southwest, like the Texas culture. And I'm not talking about just the South and the North and Houston, but actual Hispanic culture and creating, you know, hip hop records. And like, what do we take? It's not really about taking at this point. It's about exchanging. We're moving back and forth between genres. And a lot of people don't get it because they came from a time when everything was very, very much segmented. But now I just think that you can't act like you don't see this over here. Even in hip hop, we can't act like we don't see the numbers some of these country music folks are doing. And they you know, look
country
at this.
Country music has been doing numbers.
Yeah, watch
for
the
a
country
long time,
music. They show up with the big trucks and the shiny yeah. clothes and the jewelry. Honestly, it's a lot closer than a lot of people we even learn to admit.
Let me ask it this way. Is that the same thing as sampling per se, or
that's what I was actually going to talk about?
You know, interpolations from jazz or long set funk. That's not necessarily the same thing. Am I wrong when I say that?
Well, the thing about it is at this point, it's American culture. At the end of the day, it's been around. We're celebrating year 50. We've talked about this many times too. It's the number one genre out there, so you can't hide from it. You can't just say that you're not influenced by it. So everybody's music is probably going to have something intertwined in there that's a little hip hop. I mean, I seen a thread of about five black artists that are country singers now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And their whole style is hip hop infused country music for the most part. You know what I'm saying? Along with the other artists that are doing it too. But it's kind of like, well, since y'all are doing that, we're going to come, you know, get our little piece off of it too. Because, I mean, we like country music. We're from the country, and we represent it, and we can still represent the hip-hop part of it, too, by putting out our own stuff. So, I mean, you really can't be mad at hip-hop being a part of a lot of things. Now, as far as it being commercialized,
mm-hmm.
that's a different story. If we're talking about that, then I see what he's saying, but you can't really be mad that hip-hop has influenced all these genres like that.
Anything? You got anything on that long?
I have nothing really to add. I don't really...
I think we covered it.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say.
Is there more anything else on, you know, what I said in terms of comparing the two?
No? I mean, I get what you're saying. I do. But I just think
I see a difference. You know, I see a difference.
You know,
the way
culture is sampled now, it may not just be through a drum machine.
Right.
You know, it's from, you know, a certain cadence and way things are said.
Yeah.
You know, you hear hip hop in gospel music. What do you think all that Kirk Franklin is? They've been doing that.
True. Man was doing y'all, y'all, y'all back in like 90. What was
so,
it? Late 90s.
I don't, you know.
It's all a big.
I don't want anybody
pot.
To get concerned about this. Like all of a sudden, well, what are they doing with this? I was like.
Lone makes a good point though with the melting
you
pot.
You mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's all at this point. It's. I think the thing that I've been trying to wrap my head around is there any type of basis of cultural appropriation within this? Because I feel like that's like the underlining conversation we're having, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, we've all basically alluded to how you can't hide from hip hop at this point. It's everywhere. And the influence is just like this is what I'm taking from our conversation is undeniable. The influence is just going to pop up by default at this point.
So is if hip hop becomes the most number one genre, which it is, and then country music is all of a sudden maybe, I don't know, not the number one genre, but then hip hop. Starts to or hip hop artists start to steal country to make it, I don't know, get some of that freshness in the same way that people used yeah. to steal from black mm-hmm. culture and hip hop is, mm-hmm. I don't know, is it?
I think that would be a
not
very,
but not to say that like country music is white culture mm-hmm. and that, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's the distinct difference there is that hip hop was very much so black culture.
Right.
Country music isn't.
This is a fact.
You know what I mean? And just like rock and roll was not derived from just white people.
No.
Right. You know, it was
specifically derived from black people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's where this conversation, that's why I'm sitting over here just thinking like, I don't even know how to even, this is, yeah, I don't
well,
know.
See, this is where I would, you know, because they talk about, oh, there's a 40% dip in hip hop as a genre as far mm-hmm. as like its commercial viability. But I was like, well, okay, but what other places are you not counting? Because there's this hip hop country over here. Are you mm-hmm. not counting that? Are you not counting influence hip hop has on a group like BTS, You know, are you not counting that because that's supposedly K-pop or just pop music? Mm. Are you discounting the influence he even has on Taylor Swift? Like
Jelly Roll started out with 3-6 Mafia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, or her?
Yes.
Yes. You didn't know that? No, Jelly Roll stayed in the city on somebody's tour, performing at places like the Emerson and stuff like that, and is now one of the biggest country stars.
Because Jelly Roll is the nation.
That's a heavy set guy with the tats, right?
Yes. He's been around for a long time.
I'm asleep. I saw a clip.
39.
Yeah, I saw the clip on Instagram with him saying.
Or 38 or something. This is a story of,
you know, and a redemption story, him being 39 and just getting nods and winning awards. I was asleep. Y'all put me on game. I was asleep on that.
Now, here's what I will say with all this being said. I still do think that it's possible for popular mainstream artists in general to see what different genres are, maybe specifically, or different cultural sects are, let's say, popping right now, and to dip within there and to exploit those. And I don't think that that is necessarily, I don't think that's genre specific necessarily, but would you view that in a similar way as far as exploitation is concerned?
So just the idea of art, any creatives or artists dabbling into other successful.
Let's say Kanye West is super popular as a hip hop artist. Then he sees that, oh man, these guys are really popping over here doing this disco infused, I don't know, Punjabi music over here. And then that's what he starts doing. And then he becomes popular because he dives into a different subsect, right? You know what I mean? Like, I think there might be a conversation to some degree.
So my idea behind it is if somebody's doing this country music, then they have had to have had some kind of early influence in their life versus just, oh, I think I'm going to just jump out the window and start doing country music because it's popular.
Right.
Hip hop, like people do the same thing with hip hop. They'll start out in one genre and hop over in the hip hop bus and then go back to where they was at, trying to bring it back full circle. But now I think if you just do something based off it being what's popping right now, then
That's what that
culture
is.
Vulture vibes to me.
No, I just, you know, because I don't want anyone to all of a sudden jump off. They take a little of this element of hip hop and they act like they created them. That's the only part that would get where if, you know, they do this and then they're like, oh, no, I've never heard that music. You know what I'm saying? Like they act like they created something new, which has happened so many times in the past.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that a lot.
I mean, just like the, you know, just the whole concept of like, oh, someone's doing a cover. Like literally it's to cover up, because that's what they used to do with, you know, like the Pat Boone situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy Chapman just won a CMA.
Yeah, because she won for Songwriter of the Year.
Songwriter of the Year based off a country music cover.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope.
You know, but you know, the original idea of covering something was to basically, okay, we got Pat Boone to do this and he's going to cover the Little Richard version, so we don't have to worry. So our, you know, the white kids who are going to buy records don't have to worry about buying it from him. We'll get it from Pat Boone.
Yep.
You know, so man, it's hard because like you know, when you know the history of things and like why they call things a certain thing, you know, now everyone understands. Oh, it's not a problem. Maybe they did a cover of my record, but it used to be to literally erase the original artist.
You just made me think about Dreamgirls.
Yeah,
when they were all sitting on the couch, Jennifer Hudson, Beyonce. I cannot name another young lady's name, but they were sitting on the couch and their record pops up and somebody else is singing it.
Yeah.
Doing a cover.
Yeah.
Right. It's
Anika crazy. Noni Rose. That was it.
Yes. That's her name. Yes.
But you know, I mean like they probably got a piece of from there, but like when, even in the Five Heartbeats,
yes.
They had the Five Horsemen come in and re-sing their song, you know,
that was corny too, when they did the remake.
I mean, but that's basically what happened.
You remember when they presented them with the album cover? And had the white family on the beach.
That's Motown used to do that.
Yeah.
Motown didn't. Crazy. They never put pictures of their artists on, you know, because it was like, oh, if we put black faces on it, we'll only get black people to buy it.
Yeah.
But you see the video where they seen How Do Fools Fall in Love? Oh,
Frankie Lyman.
Frankie Lyman. You see the video where he came out and performed, and they didn't know it was a black guy.
Yeah.
Everybody was looking at him all crazy. When they pan into the crowd, like, everybody is just shocked. Nobody's like, moving.
Yeah, nobody wants to be caught, you know, clapping and enjoying.
Yeah.
And everybody in the audience loved that record prior to seeing him come out.
Yep.
Man,
it was a wild time back then.
Yeah.
Seems normal. For the time.
Yeah.
Definitely for the time.
That's what they be talking about when they say make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They want to go back.
Let me enjoy. Let me enjoy these black artists that, that I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making this mysterious music.
Yeah. these race records.
Race records. Man, hey, that's game, Jay Moore, with the cover. Your third eye was open on the cover.
I mean, like, that's the thing. When you really start looking into why we say the things we do,
sound real woke. When you realize
there is a racial connotation to so many things that are just threaded into American,
like everything.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to escape. So
they hate when you say it's the American way, when it's literally what built this country.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to everybody going to have these hard conversations next week at their Thanksgiving table.
Make America great again.
I don't want no turkey. So the pressed meat you got on this table.
I have no idea what this is a reference to.
Booty noodles.
He said an oppressed turkey.
Oppressed meat.
Oh, oppressed. I thought you said pressed. I was like, what is pressed turkey?
Nah, oppressed meat.
Oppressed meat.
Oppressed is definitely better.
Yeah.
I bet not hear anybody be. I bet
in
not
here
be
celebrating this white man holiday.
Yeah,
I bet not be around anybody on y'all loving that
the scraps they used to give us, and y'all still eat.
Uh huh.
Hey man, you know how many Native Americans we had to kill to have this holiday?
Man.
Is that too dark? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, hey, sometimes the truth hurts.
That's right. You know, and you going out shopping on Black Friday. You know what that is?
Man, that story is wild and untrue. Yeah. Whatever Hotep came up with that.
And the thing is, there were people who should know better. Who were like reposting
that
story.
Man, they was living off of that for a minute. Every year.
Did I miss that one?
Just wait till next week. Okay. Somebody's going to post it.
Yeah.
And think it's gospel.
So there's a Hotep about Black Friday?
The Black Friday, that's the day that like the slaves were half off.
Yeah.
It's like, dog, first
really?
Of all.
Really?
Yeah, it's absolutely not
okay,
the
okay, first of all, and I hate to, like, we're going to go deep. It was after the harvest, so you're not going to, you know, so we're not going to do that. Second of all, it's about that's when most major corporations finally find themselves in the black because of all the money that's been spent.
Instead of being in the red.
Red, yes.
So now they're finally kind of breaking even and starting to see that profit. That's what Black Friday is about. It's not about...
So how do you know that slave owners didn't have the same type of economical things going on?
That's where it came from.
Really?
Where people were like, yeah, you know what? I know what Black Friday is really about.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you learn something every day. Look, now I know.
I can't wait to see this because it's going to pop up on my timeline.
I was just joking one time where I said, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is actually about the black athlete in America.
He is.
Because basically, before, you know,
it's until, about Jackie Robinson,
and yeah, until deemed useful, things that are not of the norm are seen as something that we should shun. And so, as soon as Rudolph, as soon as they couldn't see their way on Christmas night, hey, Rudolph, come over. We'll let you play some reindeer games. And that's how you Negroes have been much through this time in America, coming over just playing the white man's reindeer games.
I don't know.
Come on, Hank.
Folks out there talking about cut the check.
No. I feel like you just, there's a sector of America that you just pissed off. So we'll see how that goes
okay,
in the comments,
Yeah.
People take stuff as gospel, man.
You start breaking it down, and then it's like, man.
That Rudolph is going to bother somebody. That's going to bother somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you. You line that up with how there wasn't no black players in the SEC up until 1968.
Somebody is going to Somebody's going to see you at coaches and be like, look at Jay Moore up there playing the reindeer games with the white DJ behind him.
Telling you, some of y'all just playing the reindeer games. You don't even know it until they call your Rudolph ass up somewhere.
Matter of fact, me, you, and Terry, people might say we're playing the reindeer games because Lona's on the show. They might say we're playing the reindeer.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But maybe you are. Why else would I wear this hat?
Because it's Christmas time, and what's Ralphie about to kick your ass?
I got
that damn hat on.
Maybe. This is foreshadowing.
Oh, my God.
That's
man.
Right. Rudolph, they had no time for Rudolph. He was off with, you know, with the other misfit individuals. Like,
see, now you
like
got
the elf. You know what I'm saying? You know what the elf? You know what his problem was? He didn't want to accept what society was going to give him and say that he had to make toys. He wanted to be a dentist. He wanted better
couldn't
for himself.
Couldn't be no dentist life. With them ears.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, and there's probably somebody who's like, oh, how dare you want to be a dentist with that black skin? See, that's you got to understand, these things all tie together.
So the elves are black now.
I, shh, Come on. Just standard workers, part of the cogs that drive this capitalist machine, and he decided he wants to do something different. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you got to understand these are all allegories to the civil rights movement.
I mean, it is. If we're talking about specifically the Christmas stories, but then we cross over universes into Lord of the Rings, it is very interesting how the white elves are different from the black orcs and how they demonstrate those in the dark and the light.
I mean,
notice how the orcs are born from slop.
Mm. He might be preaching, Jay Moore. He might
I ain't going, man.
I'm not going to have to rim. I'm not, have the rim. I'm not going to interrupt him when he's flowing straight from the survival scrolls.
Terry made a good point. I love the Lord of the Rings. You are not about to mess up Lord of the Rings.
No, because when I brought up, you know, when we did this with Ninja Turtles, you'd be like, oh, man.
Nah, man, because you got to remember old Willie Baggins, man. There was a black hobbit.
True. Willie Baggins.
And his name was Willie.
Yes. You ain't seen the story of Willie Baggins?
They call him Willie Dynamite.
No, that's not him. look up the Black Hobbit.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Look,
yeah.
You got to understand, they do a lot of things on the low. Not even on the low. Remember the show Silverhawks back in the day? There was one black.
That's a good one.
Yeah, there was one black Silverhawk. You know what his name was? Hot Wing.
See.
Now that I'm with you on that. Now that's woke. I'm with you on
that.
Are
you saying
Hot Wing?
That wasn't
disrespectful.
That
reference
woke.
To chicken?
That was a joke. That wasn't woke. That was a joke. Nah.
What was crazy was the
crows on
Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Yeah. Now that, sir.
Yeah, that was
one of
it's unacceptable.
One of his name was actually Jim Crow. I said, "Hey, man. Look."
Yeah.
And like, you know, and they tried to do the real affected like effort. They'd be like, "Well, I be done seen about everything till I seen an elephant fly." And these are all white guys.
Hey, bro.
They're shucking and jiving.
Shucking it. I be done seen.
Be done seen.
About everything. Jay Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually,
check it out on Disney Plus.
White people can say everything too.
I don't think it's on there no more.
Sorry.
Man.
No, it's on there.
No, it's still on there.
Song of the South ain't on there.
I know. It's like you let Song of the South, like, you be like, oh, we ashamed of this one. I'll be like, what about all this other stuff you should be ashamed of?
Keep the crows, though.
Keep the crows. Keep the.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You see that elephant down there?
Yeah, I mean, I bet he could fly.
Yo. Same thing they did with Transformers. They tried to do a new version of them damn crows from Dumbo.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I used to
on that
love
movie.
Dumbo.
Dumbo's a classic cartoon.
When I used to go to my grandmother's house, she used to put that movie on for me. I used to watch that.
It's a classic cartoon. Yeah. Classic Disney film.
And until you get into
I always thought the crows were black.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's what they were going for.
But
they did a good job.
Why you say did you like
but
that?
But the thing is, that's how Hollywood worked then.
What kind of minstrel show is going on
exactly.
here?
Exactly. It's like, we're going to do this real racial part of the animated movie, but let's just hire white guys to do
if you
black voices.
We've talked about this in the past, but the disrespectful 50s, those cartoons in the 60s, like the 60s, what was that era?
Go back earlier than that.
Is it earlier than that?
40s.
40s, 50s?
The 40s, where the way they would portray like Japanese people
during
the
war. Oh, my God, bro.
But even when you get to the 70s,
even the movies, even
with
the
Aristocats.
Regular movies, yeah.
There's Aristocats. A Siamese cat, and at one point, like a cymbal falls on his head, and they're singing a song. And when they get over to the cat who's on some Asian stuff, I was like, this is wild.
I loved Aristocrats too.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
Aristocrats, I'm sorry. I loved that as a kid.
You were conditioned.
Fun. Yeah.
Was I conditioned?
Even your conditioning didn't know that it was conditioned.
So Dr. Umar was cooking on Art of Dialogue.
Okay.
Actually made a good point.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. You know, I fool with Dr. Umar when he's in his bag and he's making sense. He'll veer off the path a little bit. He'll circle back home.
You don't mess around and say the wrong word about the Prince of Pan-Africanism.
Yeah, and he makes sure that y'all know that and that he's kin to Frederick Douglass. He's going to make sure that you say that in every interview. But he brought up a good point when he said, why is it that during the celebration of the hip hop's 50th anniversary, there are no conversations about how detrimental hip hop music has been to black culture and the ramifications that have come from it, the negative influence over the past 50 years? He said that everything is positive from a celebratory standpoint. All these big concerts, shows, but there's been no dialogues, no forums about things on the opposite side, hip hop's influence over the past 50 years.
Because that's not what you do with somebody on their birthday.
But that doesn't mean we can't talk about it, though.
I mean, but just imagine if it was my 50th birthday and there was somebody that came up and be like, remember that one time you stole a Jell-O from, remember that remember from the time? Mike,
from MCL?
Time, remember, yeah, from MCL. Remember that time you went to jail for, like, don't bring that up on my birthday.
Yeah,
and plus we have had these conversations because, you know, like part of
you've seen forums about this.
I feel like part of, you know, all these documentaries, they don't just gloss over and say everything's been all good. You know, look, even in the documentary that we were not credited for, in the ladies first situation,
which one, the first one? Oh, sorry, sorry.
You know, they still don't shy away from the misogyny and some of the hurtful ways in which men have treated women, not only in the industry, but through the actual art. I think that we've had those discussions.
I think Dr. Umar,
we're just not going to get it. You know, why am I going during hip hop's 50th anniversary going to gather a bunch of people into a room and say, this is why hip hop stinks and this is all the things we've done wrong? Why would I even go to that? I'm here to celebrate this culture and I understand it's not perfect.
To make it better
is a good argument.
But at the same time, we've had these conversations during the course of this 50-year celebration. Maybe it's just because Dr. Umar has not been at center of them, and maybe they didn't call him so he could say these things, but I feel like we've had these conversations.
I think Dr. Umar is coming from the standpoint of heavy dialogue panel type discussions. It could be pros and cons of hip-hop or whatever, but
I'm sure these are happening on college campuses around the whole United States.
Could be.
Yeah.
We've had conversations about it.
So
I don't think it stops at us, though. We've had those conversations.
Yeah.
He actually also mentioned that rappers who are of age now have become older, live in gated communities, the kids go to private schools.
As they should.
And they still rap about the things that they came from, yet they've moved out of the situation that they came from. Contradictory that is.
No, it's not. We've had that conversation, too, because it goes back to, you don't say
really,
that about.
He really was standing on that one.
You don't say that about people that write movies. These rich people that write these movies about crime and all this, that, and the other. You don't say that to them while they live in their gated communities. But I can't keep telling you my story behind my gates.
Does
everybody that writes a movie about crime come from crime? I wouldn't say so.
Well, they can say it was part of their influence. Like Martin Scorsese has done how many movies about the mob?
Come on, man.
And no one said, now he's done other movies since then, but no one says, oh, geez, another mob story.
Right.
Sure they do.
You know,
they applaud it. They can't wait for another one.
Yeah. In fact, they get mad at Martin Scorsese when, you know, he does something that is not mob related or something that involves crime.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think it's a one of one comparison. I don't think it's that.
Well, it's not a one of one, but it's very similar. It's from the same vein, because if I'm talking about what I've been through, if I'm talking about it in the past tense, not saying that I'm still doing this stuff, I'm still literally telling my story. Right.
I think a better comparison would be another music genre as opposed to movies.
OK, so let's talk about, since we've been talking about country. People are upset because the wife and dog left.
Mm-hmm.
How many wives and dogs have left them?
I don't think situationally. I think the wife and the dog can leave even if you've had a pretty good life.
And how many bottles of whiskey and beer can I drink?
If you're already an alcoholic, it stays with you for life.
But what if I live in a gated community? I don't get to do this stuff anymore?
You can still do it, but you still talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Which is your argument, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got lost in the metaphors.
I mean, I like where he was going with the conversation. You can have it, right? I'm not saying rain on the parade. He didn't come off like that, but he just found it odd that there have not been that many discussions.
I mean, this is Dr. Umar, though.
He was just being extra.
He says things to get a rise. That's to get a rise.
There has to be somebody that is just always miserable that has to outline these things. I honestly don't even mean that in a negative way.
No, I see where you're going.
But it's just like somebody that's going to always highlight the detriment of what's going on everywhere. And that's just his role. That's what he does. And I wouldn't expect anything different from him. I'm sure he cares very much about what I have to say.
He should maybe make a class at his school.
Yeah.
About this.
Yeah, his school.
That people come check out.
Yeah. But... I don't know. I think it's a valid conversation.
That's all I'm saying.
But
it can be talked about.
But at the same time, I think I gotta agree with
side
Jay
with Jay
here.
Moore.
Like, we're not gonna. This isn't the greatest hits of all the bad things that happened on your birthday. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, we are a part of hip hop culture,
right?
And we talk about this stuff every week.
We do.
You know what I mean? And there are other people that talk about it every week. It's not like it goes away. It's a constant thing. Whenever something happens, we talk about it further. I think you can do both. I think you can talk about the great things and also talk, you know, highlight the negative things when they occur, but you don't want to dwell on them at the same time.
Especially not on my birthday.
You know, I mean, exactly.
I want my cake.
I want my cake.
Yeah, I like cake. So,
and
you know,
ice cream.
I like both. But it's one of those things. I think, you know, I think there's some validity to what he's saying, but at the same time, I think
tying it into
the 50th
anniversary conversation maybe is the part that's not adding up.
It's like he's running with the maybe he's not running with the idea that it's not happening. I think what he wants, based upon what you have said, is he wants intentionality behind these things. Like, yep. Where we have these hip hop celebrations, these concerts, these tours. Where is the intentionality in hip hop that is going behind and saying, all right, cool, here are also the negative effects. Let's do a recap and let's see if we can figure out these things.
Right.
I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that at all, to be honest. I just,
that's what I
don't think
know.
That I don't think
but
that,
honestly, I don't, what
think,
I took from
I don't think that one constitutes, like, I don't think you make that argument against each other like that.
No,
though.
I don't think it's not happening already, though. Candace Owens had a host, and I don't agree with her a lot of times. I mean, everything she said about that situation, I was clapping my hands.
I mean, you know, broken clock is right twice a day. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That was one of those days.
And it was definitely one of those days because, I mean, these conversations are being had. It's just not why, like Jay said, on the 50th birthday or something, why should that be the only thing that we're talking about? We're pointing the stuff out as it comes out.
Yeah, and the thing is,
I like what Long...
hip hop is, since its inception, has always been criticized loudly by people in halls of power who have no actual care about the people who in the culture that it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, from people within the culture who may have grown up and now they see things differently. Shout out to D1, you know, who has been very, you know, vocal lately and has made a lot of sense. And I'm glad, I'm always happy with somebody from inside the culture who has certain criticism because it does come from a place of love, you know.
Right.
I talked about this, how like C. Dolores Tucker, Reverend Calvin Butts, yeah, we're both very critical of hip hop, but yeah. It came from a different place where was what they said wrong, but it didn't come from, I didn't come from the place of love that I would like to see.
That's the Candace Owens effect. She's not coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
On this particular instance, she was.
I watched it. There is some in this one case because
we don't think she ever does.
I think she's
100% grifter.
I
all
think
the time.
Right here we were talking about a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when her she has these other criticisms specifically,
but she doesn't
of
care
black
about
people,
children.
She doesn't care about.
Hey. Lone, I think this was
this
a one-off. I only like kids.
This particular,
so, but I think this
segment was. Was coming from a good place.
I think this is a one-off, bro.
I
don't think so.
Broken
I haven't
clock.
Even seen it because she's never right.
But yeah, I forget what I was even saying. But I'm just saying, like with hip hop, I mean, I know what I'm saying now because hip hop has always been so open for criticism from the mainstream media, from the media within hip hop, you know, from feminist media. Everything has always been something to try to tear down hip hop. Not even tear down, but just criticize and sometimes give criticism that, once I say again, comes from a place of love. So during the 50th anniversary, look, can we just honestly, can we take a break and just celebrate the good things and the way it's brought us all together?
Yeah.
You know,
no.
Considering all 50 years leading up to it, there's been something that happened to where there was somebody who decided they were going to make a name for themselves being critical of hip hop or creating, whether it be the respectability politics of the 80s, the anti-gangster, you know, ism, if you will, of the 90s, you know, the part where it's like we were complaining about the misogyny in the 2000s, you know, when BET and Cut comes along. Once again, we have a timeline of criticism for hip hop.
For every single thing in the entire existence of the world is like that as well, too. I don't think it gets excluded.
Well, I mean, but at the same time, I completely understand why people want to, you know, once the July 4th comes around, I understand why people want to be critical of America, because it's like we didn't get here with just clean
hands. It's a good time to talk about it, I think, is for a lot of people. Because, I mean, let's be real. We are a people, and I don't just mean Americans, but I just mean in general, we're a modern people that the stuff that we talk about now that takes our attention is what's right in front of our face, because there's just so much information all the time. So it's like, okay, hip hop's 50th. this is a time for me to, I have a little bit of spotlight to talk about whatever I want to talk about on this particular instance, whatever this is. But that's kind of how it is with everything right now, no matter what. Like, sure, we may not have any different feelings towards Kanye West than what we had the last time we talked about him, but we haven't talked about him at all because he hasn't come up in the news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If he comes up in the news and it's something supremely relevant to what we're talking about, then we're going to bring that back. But we're not talking about it because it's not something to talk about, because there's so many other things to talk about. I'm just making a side point. I agree with you guys are saying, except for the Candace Owens things. I don't think she's a good actor in anything.
Good actor.
Yeah. She's a grifter. There's an angle.
Oh, no. Where
there's,
she,
a, there's an angle. There's an angle. No, that's all I'm saying.
I mean,
there's,
she.
If
she,
I, if I study this, there's an
always
angle.
An angle.
There's always an angle.
There's always an angle.
Always an angle. But
I was going. I had to give her a flower.
I know there's an angle because, once again, this is one thing. And Candace Owens has been a part of public discussion for a couple decades now. Maybe not that long. I don't know. It seems like you've been around for way too long. But.
Not that long. About 5 years.
Oh, that's
it's longer than that, ain't it?
No, it's longer. Yeah,
but it's longer than that, ain't it?
Not really. Candace Owens?
Yeah, it got to be longer than 5 years long.
No.
5 years has done gone. 5 years.
Since like Trump. Maybe a decade.
I remember Candace Owens talking crazy before Trump even showed up on the scene politically.
Yeah, it got to be longer
than
5 years.
I'm going to Google this because she hasn't been relevant until recently.
Once again, relevant is different. You know, Tammy Lahren at one time was relevant.
Around the same time, though.
Yeah. I'm gonna say over five long.
And plus, it's definitely five, over five. It's definitely
plus,
over
you
five.
Can always yeah, yeah. you can you know
it's irrelevant.
One of the quickest ways to get into some sort of media space now is if you're a black person willing to talk bad about black people.
There you go.
Yep. See Jason Whitlock.
Hold on. Did
Stacey Dash tried it?
She tried. Yeah, because she was like, you know what? I have to get behind about 50 other people if I want to be. Let me go ahead and start. I'll be one of the Republican spokespeople.
There you go.
I'll be able to get on and people will talk about me. And then, like, once they had no more use for her, we haven't heard from Stacey Dash since.
Ain't heard from her since. That's facts.
Not till she said she didn't know that DMX had passed with her dumb ass.
Yeah.
That was stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah, real stupid.
That was stupid.
But, all right. You know.
She was born in 1989, so it hasn't.
She's a Swiftie.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you did.
I mean,
it says 2018, but I remember her before that. But then again, I pay more attention than most people do.
But also, I would agree. Yeah, but also it's like, I also remember seeing an interview because, like, she always, you know, was on the other side of, you know, oh, no, affirmative action, that is bad, it's bad. But then, like, when she needed some help, you know, you can go into her history. Like, she voted for President Obama, I believe, twice, you know, but, like, it was no money. On that side.
It was Trump era after.
Trump era.
No money on this side.
All this stuff, the story about
shout out to Tim Scott who rented a white woman for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, to only drop out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's stay on Tim Scott because I don't
know. Okay.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Well, we're back at the New Old Heads, and we appreciate you being back at the New Old Heads and being here with us.
It's the old-timey radio voice. It's like, I'm so glad.
What that was.
Let's make,
make sure you drink your Ovaltine.
He's fitting the whole description of Christmas Story, man. I'm telling you.
100%, bro.
Sitting there with your little, what was it, the Dick Tracy little decoder pen? Not Dick Tracy, who was it? Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah. Captain Midnight.
My decoder pen.
Drink classic. Your Ovaltine.
Let's go check the checklist route. I want to try the checklist route. Follow me on this one. What would be the ultimate checklist if you're building a successful hip-hop artist in 2023? What are some of the elements that you need to be a successful artist in 2023 if we were building a checklist?
Inability to read.
Come on, man.
Lack of knowledge of current events.
Come on, man.
Good ear for music.
You got to give me five. Come on, I need five.
Following on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that.
And
we got to come up with five.
Criminal record. There we go. We got five.
You don't need a criminal record, but you need to be able to portray yourself as having a criminal record.
You know what? That actually might.
Yeah, I wasn't being facetious when I said these
things. I know you were serious. I like Terry's, though. Terry said Twitter. What'd you say?
Instagram and TikTok following.
Just need a following.
Okay, so that if we were to do five. following on social media would be number one, right?
Yeah, you have to call yourself an influencer.
Call yourself.
You don't have to. It would help.
Calling yourself an influencer, you think that's a necessity?
No, it's not necessarily a necessity.
It's just being one.
But it
would help.
So the social media following, being an influencer, we'll call it. Those are the first two. We got three slots left on the checklist for what we think a successful artist would be in 2023. I like the first two because I think these are...
Being likable. Being generally likable and or...
Messy.
So controversial. So it's the ability to be able to either have a lot of people to like you and hate you at the same time.
Mm. Polarizing.
Polarizing. Thank you for the word. Yes.
Polarizing.
You have to be polarizing.
Chrisean Rock. Y'all see what she did lately?
I don't care.
Yeah. Well,
no, I'm just saying.
It kind of has something to do with that.
I'm sure it does. That's why.
So, for some odd reason, what's the Braxton girl?
Tamar?
Tamar invited Chrisean Rock to her concert. Chrisean Rock acted a fool and hit somebody in the face or something like that because she didn't get to open or perform at the Tamar Braxton concert.
She's a performer? I just thought she was somebody's baby mom.
Man, listen.
I don't understand
why everybody thinks that they're supposed to be an artist.
So I think that's a number four would be delusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four is delusion.
Delusion.
Yeah. Why do you say delusion?
You have to have a certain level of delusion that you actually matter.
Yeah.
Oh, so in your mind, nobody can tell you that you don't matter.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's where we cue in Chrisean Rock.
Because
she really thinks she out here getting it. She had a little segment afterwards talking about, I've already had one hit, and I'm going to just keep hitting them with more hits and more hits and more hits.
Yeah, that's delusion.
I'm like, for real?
That is delusion.
This is where we at?
Yes.
So social media.
She's from Baltimore too. Shout out to the Wire.
Baltimore.
That is how they talk. Social
Not
media.
Quite, but
it's close. Social media following.
I'm the worst at every accent. like my British accents sound like Australian. So, you know.
Social media following, being an influencer, you have to be polarizing. You have to be delusional to some extent. There's one slot left.
I feel like we're missing one. Big social media.
I think that's a big one, Long.
Big social media and influencer are the same thing. That's the same thing.
All right. Okay. So we need two more.
Yeah.
Because I like you. We'll group those in.
Big social media following.
/ influence.
Delusion.
Delusion. Well, polarizing.
And polarizing.
So there's three. There's
messy.
I think to the messy point, I think it would probably be just a...
Messy is successful.
Yeah, but not everybody that is successful is messy. Just a lot of the people
the hype
are.
Beast.
It's similar to the hype beast is what I'm thinking. It's like having the... Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's just like just not caring, but that goes into the delusion. You know what I mean?
Because if you're delusional, you don't care what anybody says. Yeah.
So any type of musical acumen at all is not relevant.
No, that's the last thing that's on the book. That would be the last thing required. Musical knowledge, acumen. You don't need that.
I don't even know if it's that many things. Maybe it's only like three or four things.
I threw out five just for like just normal checklist type stuff, but we have three great ones with the social media / influencer, polarizing and delusional. I don't know.
Somewhere in there, like the want to be famous, is that different or is that the kind of the same?
I think that.
Is that the social media thing?
It kind of goes
that
with
is
the
it.
Social media because that's how it usually starts mm-hmm. is I'm trying to be very popular. I want people to like me. I want mm-hmm. people to follow me. Mm-hmm. And then that turns into, I feel like I can rap.
Yep.
And for some reason, everybody always leans towards rapping.
Yes.
It'd be trash as hell.
Yep.
And they still think they're making hits.
Yeah, I think that is mixed with delusion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Delusion is a big one.
We got three strong ones that I think that we all agree on.
And I think probably the one is just network.
Personality.
Oh, that was the other one.
Or lack thereof.
I don't look. You got to have the look, guys.
The look. I like the look. I like look.
Yeah.
We'll put look on there.
Yeah, the look.
I like look.
Because that kind of goes into the polarization, what you just said.
Yeah, I like look. So social media following, you know, / influence, your look, be polarizing, be delusional. And if there was one more we could squeeze in there, you know, just a starter kit that we're thinking.
Everything goes back to being delusional. I was about to say, talking about how much money you got.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that kind of falls into the delusion a little bit.
I think maybe the ability to lean into everything.
The ability to lean into everything.
Like the ability to lean in the fact of all this, even more. Once people come out and are like, nah, this person is trash or this person is whatever, just to be able to like
embrace that,
embrace it like to the 10th power.
Like, just don't care.
Yeah, like, not like, caring.
Okay, I'm going to be who you say I am.
Yeah, it's like...
That's who a lot... That's what works.
Wanting to be the villain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these artists, they hear that. Obviously, they see the comments or whatever. Some of them feed... To Lone's point, some of them feed off that. They draw off that. And
well, it's because...
And they get stronger with more hate,
They want you to talk about them as long as they're talking about them.
They know that as long as there's talk, then that's...
Okay,
you know.
So how about this? Maybe we do the fifth one as... The ability to clout chase.
No, because they think that everybody's clout chasing them. But it goes back to the delusion.
But wouldn't you want to be a clout chaser to become more popular?
Krishan Rock literally brought that up when she was talking about somebody trying to get clout off her. Like, Tamar Braxton needs clout from Krishan Rock.
Oh.
I think it's just the ability to lean into it. I think that's just what I would... That would be my vote. It's just ability to lean into it as...
To own it,
and just let it be.
Whatever.
What you think, Jay? You good with the ability to own it for the last one, or is there anything else that we may have missed?
No, I think, you know, because we have to.
We got a strong four.
Person just came out of nowhere and started swinging on everybody. When we talk about Sexy Red, she has just leaned into everything
all the way.
Whatever criticism you have of her,
she don't care at all.
She's just going to be more of that.
Yeah,
it's like she draws off the energy.
She gets stronger with it. Yeah.
So
it's like a gremlin after midnight.
So now she's just, you know, she
don't give it water.
She's literally just going to be
or food.
Man, they didn't water her.
She's getting water.
So like now she's just going to be on stage, pregnant, twerking with no shoes on. Like, you think anything we have to say is going to stop her? She leans into
it. Absolutely not. She can't wait.
Yeah.
I think that's the one, Long. Being able to lean into it, embrace.
That's like the worst segment ever.
Okay.
No, I mean, only just...
Oh, I see what you're going.
You know what
I mean? Yeah, I see where you're going.
Because you're like, this is all true and it's all depressing.
Or you put it's depressing. Haters. They need haters.
Mm, well,
haters are a part of it.
Yeah.
But that's part of the taking the good with the bad and the, I think, and the delusion.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we actually nailed it. If you go back and look at it, social media, look, polarizing. Got to be somewhat delusional and be able to lean into any type of criticism, attention that comes with you and embrace it. Sounds like a successful kit to me.
Sounds just like a celebrity. Sounds nothing like a musician, right?
That's what I was about to say. No musical talent is needed.
Not at all.
Isn't that crazy that out of all of this...
Shout out to Milli Vanilli.
All of us know in our hearts that the part about the music is not necessary.
No.
We all know that that is not necessary in this kit that we're talking about for the checklist. You don't have to know anything about anything musical at all. And you can be extremely successful in 2023. And it's
now granted.
What you got?
Not everybody can accomplish all these five feats.
Well, if everything lines up, though, you get Sexy Red. You got
to get all the jewels, man. You got to.
If you can get all five of these, stones, these infinity stones, you're good.
Look, and sometimes it just.
Name of the segment is the five keys to success.
Yeah,
in the music industry.
Because think about what's his name. Kid from New Jersey is in jail right now.
New Jersey in jail.
That could be. You got to narrow it down better than that. That could be my cousin.
Trap Queen. What was it?
Fetty Wap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
High guy.
You know that guy. Like,
high guy.
Trap Queen had been out for almost a year before someone said, "Hey, check this out." And then he couldn't. There was a quick moment where Fetty Wap couldn't be stopped. He was as big as anybody.
Oh, he was everywhere. Facts.
He was everywhere.
And now he's somewhere now.
That's Fetty Wap, Long.
Yeah, it is.
Got this soda.
He's got a cool voice. I'll give him that.
Hey, Fetty Wap, he had a run, though.
He did.
He had a run. I ain't going to hold you.
He fumbled.
And he had a lot of OGs from, he's from New Jersey, correct? Right.
We just talked about that. That's what he had said, Mike.
He did have said that. But he had some OGs.
You're like, New Jersey jail? You got to narrow it down.
He had some OGs come out behind him, man. Tretch and them was behind. Val heard Tretch be like, yeah, man, he got it. I think Latifah might have said something.
Got it, you got it,
man. If you notice, anytime anybody from any region comes out and is gaining any kind of esteem or popularity, whoever's from there always say they
always
got it.
Always cosign.
Is that bad?
Always,
well, yeah,
yes.
After I've already got is three that, joints out, yeah, you're going to say, yeah, you got it.
Let me ask you guys this, and since you brought that up.
It's a whole nother conversation, but yes.
Has there ever been an instance where you've seen the opposite? where somebody comes from a region and there's an OG or somebody that's like, I mean, good luck, kid, but that ain't it.
Look, there are times where I see certain artists in Indianapolis bubble a little bit. I'm like, not them. Maybe it's hating. That's okay.
Or you could just have your own opinion.
Yeah, you can still have your own opinion, but I'm just kind of like, not that.
I don't know if I've seen an example of the opposite, though, on a major platform where somebody says,
man, they're great.
Where OG comes out and is like, it ain't for me, but I'm happy for them coming from the area or whatever. Because usually, to y'all point, whenever somebody comes from a region, the OGs are going to be like, yeah, man, that young boy doing his thing, knowing the music trash.
Everybody from New York then got beyond Scarlet.
Right.
It's good for the local economy. It comes down to capitalism.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's...
And you right about that, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
She popping up everywhere. OG features. I think it was a Buster, somebody else. She getting them features. She getting the looks. She can rap, though.
I mean, we'll see. Because remember at one point, everybody was like, oh, yeah, Young M.A., da-da-da-da.
True.
Like...
True.
Because once you don't hit, you can't pick up the phone and talk to the same people.
Nah. So it's either you capitalize off of us kind of giving you a little push because everybody else is, but after that, everybody be like, all right, it didn't work out.
Yeah, because the industry, none of these people, your friends.
So what y'all are telling me is once that window is closed, from all the gas that we gave you, it's a wrap.
No more features for you.
No.
You can get, be like, hey, Buster. And it's like, why is this phone number doesn't work for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just... You'll wake up and nobody's asking you to do anything. And
I saw Young M.A. handing out $100 bills yesterday in a video.
Oh, word?
Young M.A. was looking kind of crippled.
No, I didn't see that.
Something happened to her?
Some did.
Like,
did
she have World War II crutches?
she was in bad shape. She was riding around in one of them...
Rascals?
Yeah. Like she had lost a whole bunch of weight.
She ain't sick, is she?
I don't know. She's drinking a lot of them Hennessy bottles.
That'll do it.
Okay.
Want to do hood rat things with her friends.
Dylan the Dillinger.
Would y'all have walked to buy that cheesecake for Diddy?
I don't know.
Across that bridge.
Pretty Tony's over there like, nah, I ain't going.
In my younger days, if I thought it was going to lead to something,
probably
I'd have done it.
I'm not going to hold you, Terry. And I'm going to speak for my brother here. Sloan and I were in that situation. I think we walked.
Look, you're talking to somebody who drove all the way to New Orleans once because we thought that there was like a label deal down there for us.
Yeah.
Slept in a car. You know, yeah. It was like one of those type of things. And
there's awful parts to that story.
I was like, oh, this is not it. Yeah. So, but
I remember that.
But, you know, you're young. You don't know any better.
You don't know no better.
And you're adventurous.
Yeah, why not? I had never been to New Orleans before. Or not New Orleans, Louisiana. But
We walking, though. I know me alone walking.
Yeah, I probably walk.
Okay. Going to junior.
Don't mean I'm going to be happy about it.
Enjoy that cheesecake.
Yeah.
Ness got his own cheesecake brand now, too.
Brilliant flip. Brilliant flip of the whole story. He's brilliant for that. Lil Yachty may have gone from zero to hero, and I'm going to tell you why. Fam has grown up, I guess, or has come full circle.
He was a kid.
He was a kid. But now he is saying that hip-hop is in a terrible place. The state of hip-hop right now is that a lot of imitation. So there's a lot of imitation. We hear that all the time. We've heard OGs say that. But I didn't think Lil Yachty would be a person that would pop out and say hip-hop is in a terrible place. He says it's a lot less risk-taking, a lot less originality. People are too safe now. Everyone is so safe. He said, I'd rather take a risk than take an L. Are you guys surprised to hear that coming from Lil Yachty?
No.
You're not? Why?
Mm-mm. Hey, when you get to whenever you get to reach a certain level of maturity,
mm-hmm.
and maybe what you're, and not even about maturity, but sometimes what you're doing isn't super popping,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like you can step back
and take a look at it.
Start looking at things.
So the lens changes.
You know, like when he first started being, we were aware of who he was like barely 19, 20. He was a teenager.
He was
cold like Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
super young.
You know, when that song came out and, I don't know, you know, I thought he must have had the best representation in the world because he took that song and all of a sudden he was in a Sprite commercial.
And he had his own pizza in Walmart.
Yeah, then he had, you know.
He was a merch, I mean, he was a part of Nautica's design team. Target,
you know, yeah. But, you know, he can look back on that era and see, be like, look, y'all may not like what I did,
right.
But what I did wasn't what everybody else was doing. And that's fine because now you can look at it and be like, okay, this person is an imitation of this person or we're just trying to drive. But we have always had that. There's when, like, the people who work at these executive positions in record companies, whichever ones are still left, like, they don't ever say, we're going to do something so crazy and so bold. We're going to change the world. No.
Right.
What they say is like, hey, you see how that worked over there?
Do that.
Let's do that. and do we'll do it. Our version of that, and hopefully it does maybe just a little bit better or close to it.
And we're gonna do it over and over and over again.
Like everybody was until at one point. Everybody once thank once Run DMC hit, and there was that, you know, people stopped wearing dressing up like the Soul Sonic Force, and, yeah. and they, then everybody tried to do that.
What if I told you
at one point everybody wanted to flip samples. Soul samples when they heard what the Blueprint was. Like, remember when Jay-Z said trying to make the Blueprint 2 before Hove? There are a couple albums that are basically, hey, did you like the Blueprint? Look what we got over here. And one of the albums I really like, I'll just keep it real. AZ's Asiatic.
It came out 2 months, a month later?
Is I listened to that, I was like, okay, these are beats that could have been on the Blueprint 2.
Asiatic was fire.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I liked it so much.
Yeah.
But at one point, they abandoned sampling, or at least such obvious sampling, then the Blueprint 2 came out, and there was a change there. And you can look at almost any era of hip-hop when people started wearing gold medallions, the black medallions instead of gold, and switched on to wearing more dashikis and trying to be all earthy and looking like A Tribe Called Quest on that first album. They kind of switched up once they got to the second one.
Yeah.
You know, that first album, they was dressing really weird.
Boy, they was on their hobo.
Yeah.
100%. El Segundo.
Big old floppy hats and stuff.
But yeah, people always follow trends. Like, this has never been an industry when you talk about when people who are trying to hit certain metrics, they're not just in it for the creativity. It's always been an industry that is a copy and paste.
So, Terry,
because it's safe.
Yeah.
Terry, if I told you that Lil Yachty saying this is going to hit different, to that you say what? Or is this just another comment that'll be blowing in the wind? I'm talking different from Exhibit saying it one of the OGs saying it, because that's going to be sold as, the old rappers are complaining again. You can't use that argument when Yachty says it.
No,
because
Yachty's 26 and some of these rappers, 26.
That's what I'm saying. So does that hit different?
To whom?
That's what I was wondering. Just, to who? Just who
I'm
exactly
just thinking the masses.
Are
you talking about
the only difference
people?
Is that he's
I didn't
want to
say people. I didn't want to say people.
The only difference is that he's young and he's peers with these people that he's talking about.
Right, right.
But I mean, it's because he's taking chances, and he may be feeling himself a little bit more now too. Because I mean, he's done songs with J. Cole. Mm-hmm. He's helped Drake with his last album mm-hmm. by being one of the producers in the room. Or
he got praise AR's from Questlove. Like, you know, what I'm saying?
So he's feeling himself more from an artistic point of view versus just somebody that's new to the game and wants to make records.
Just to have fun.
Just to have fun and, you know, be youthful and fun with it. Now he's kind of on his Tyler, the Creator, because when Tyler, the Creator first came out, he was more so wanting to have fun. And
and
I'm here. We here. You know what I'm saying? He evolved into the artist that he is today. And he talks the same thing pretty much about wanting to evolve and constantly get better. And he plays instruments and stuff for people that didn't even know.
Gotcha.
He does his own production,
Tyler.
Too.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a matter of growth.
I'm just happy, not that he's coming out and saying this. I'm just happy that he is growing. You know, I feel like that's cool. It's cool to see him grow as an artist and to make the attempt at his last project as he did. He wasn't safe with it. You know, he tried something new. And I think he did a good job for what he was trying to do.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it really...
Hits different.
I mean, it's just kind of like what Jay says. I mean, everybody just tries to do what works. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the capitalism argument.
So. Okay. All right. Well, that's why
art fueled in capitalism is not good, because it's safe. It's just safe.
There's nothing daring about
There's
it.
There's nothing
Drake
daring
is
because
the
you
safest artist out
because
there.
You can't.
Max.
He is because Max. You can't stray from what works. Otherwise, you might lose a little bit of money. Even if you have a bazillions of monies, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't lose
the
money.
Monies.
You can have all of them.
There's a lot.
If you lose a little of them, a little bit of the monies, then
there's a lot at risk.
You want 9 bazillions, not 3.
Hey, three stacks flute album. Do we like it? Are we excited?
We don't know yet.
Do we believe it?
What do you mean?
I'm hearing
he posted it, right?
Yeah. Did he post it?
Yes, he did.
All right, fair enough. Then it's real then. I thought I was being trolled. So
no, this is legit.
This is a real thing, and there's no bars on it. Now, the selfish fan in me, the Outkast fan in me, it ain't going to change how I look at Three Stacks, but I'm not excited about it. We all musical people, but I'm not excited about a flute album because I want him to rap. And that's just me being a fan. I can honestly
partake.
Say it.
I'm going to partake.
I'm
going to
run it. I'm definitely going
to
run it.
To your point, I'm curious, and that's pretty much where it stops.
Okay.
At this point. I'm curious. It's Andre. I'm curious.
I am too.
But that's it.
He better get in there and be on his Roy Ayers on our ass.
Man, maybe. If he do, I'll come back in here and I'll say I stand corrected.
I'm
but
curious what it's going to sound like. Yeah. That's about it.
I'm going to run it, but
Pied Piper of Atlanta.
Bro.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants that.
Nah.
Pied Piper.
Well, I mean, not in the Kale sense.
Yeah. No, we don't want that. I'm just looking at, with Dre.
They had a really good algorithm, Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Dre's hiatus, you want it as a fan. You want to be like, man, he about to black out. We got a tease with the old Kanye record.
You get a tease every time he dropped.
You get a tease every time he dropped. Thank you. But it's, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, it ain't nothing to know, man. You're getting really the Andre 3000 album where he's playing the flute and he's sitting Indian style and rubbing his feet together and being real peaceful and lighting Nag Choppa. So that's just what you're going to have to deal with.
I'm happy that he feels confident and...
That's where I'm at with
it,
too.
You know, like that he feels that like he wants can to at least put something. It. Yeah. Yeah. I'm
maybe
happy.
This turns into... His shield coming down a little bit.
I wouldn't dive too much into it now.
Just let it be.
I'm trying to find something.
I wouldn't do too much, man.
Let it be. It's gonna be.
Just let it be what it's gonna be.
Legend of Zelda: Call of the Wild out here. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, this is Nintendo power music, man. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Hey, man. We still love.
Lincoln found this flute. Andre decided to play it.
So it's gonna be three stacks playing. You know the warp whistle. I guess
the Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, that's what it's gonna be.
Yeah.
He's in a good place. I'm happy for you, brother.
So hold up, is this the album that Killer Mike was talking about?
It might possibly be.
It can't be.
It might be though,
because he said they had a record that was like 8 minutes long. They was rapping. This can't be it.
Maybe he just took all the rapping.
Took all the rapping.
Come on, Lon, don't do that.
He said since he spoiled it, y'all just gonna get
exactly.
Y'all get the flute.
So you have me thinking, now I'm going to listen to this thinking, is this the one that they rap for 8 minutes on?
Somebody said, like, really, honestly, they are on some Legend of Zelda stuff because Big Boy, his friend is friends with a wise owl.
I see the owl on his Instagram. Yeah, I see the owl on his Instagram. I didn't even see. Somebody texted me about this morning. And
look at that flute, man. He's serious about that flute.
I thought
he'd be walking around in public playing that mug. It almost looked like a didgeridoo. With holes in it.
Whoa. Let's take time out to give him his props for saying. Say it again.
A didgeridoo.
You get props, Terry, for saying didgeridoo.
Why?
Because I don't hear didgeridoo a lot.
Okay.
Good job, man.
he makes the noises that he makes. That's funny.
I didn't even see. Is there a track list for this thing?
No.
Nah, man, you're going to get what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
He said he let Tyler, the creator, hear it.
And let me guess. Tyler was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
I don't know.
America.
Tyler, if anybody going to keep it real, it's going to be Tyler. It's Tyler.
Be like, I don't get this whole project.
Yeah. This is ass.
But it's still Andre. So, you know, it's at least got that.
And he messed with Stax, though. Like, he's always spoken highly of Stax. Solo album is an 87-minute ode to the flute.
Hey man, that's crazy. You know what's funny is Andre is about to have a whole lot of people listening to flute music on Friday.
I promise you the numbers are going to be crazy.
Hey,
the streams are going to be crazy. I'll be one of them.
So what if this is a
like
change?
Lord of the Rings.
What if this is the shift in the culture that was needed? This flute album.
All of a sudden, like,
I don't
major
think
labels are pursuing flute players.
Yeah, I gotta find a flute player.
About to go full circle. We going back to the 70s.
Amber from Moonchild is gonna blow up.
She can play the flute. Yeah. Man.
Lizzo ain't gonna be talking about eating snacks no more. She like, gonna go full
Lizzo
fledged
be fluting.
Yeah. It's gonna be a three stacks featuring Lizzo track with no vocals,
just
flute
all
playing.
Flute. The record label's gonna be like, we gotta find a delusional person that can play the flute that's polarizing. And plays the flute and has a big following and plays
read.
The flute and can't read. That's the next wave.
I don't think can't read wasn't on our list.
Was that on
our list? That was on my list.
That's on Jay Moore's
list. I was going to sign somebody. I want to make sure they can't read because I, you know.
Well,
you want a Milli Vanilli. Huh?
No. I want to get all that publishing. It's like, they couldn't read.
Why are you throwing shots at them? That's the second
shot,
bro.
Man.
Second shot.
That's not really
a shot,
though.
Shout out to the song. Blame It on the Rain. That was a great song. Regardless,
the record was fire.
You got to blame it on something, man.
Not that one. Looking out of
my window. They brought Diane Warren in for that. It's like, wait a minute, I don't know.
Blame the Rain.
Two dudes. Yes, you do. It's like, okay, girl, you know it's true.
Uh-huh.
And then you go from that, and it was like, let's get Diane Warren,
mm-hmm.
who had already been. Yeah, her prices were probably up.
She said that she had already had something that sounded similar to Girl You. She said,
oh,
Girl You
real?
Know It's True, Blame It on the Rain. She said, yeah. It's kind of similar. It fit. Made it work.
How many records they got that you can name, Jay Moore?
Three, four.
Blame It on the Rain.
Okay.
Don't Forget My Number.
Ba 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 baby.
See, Girl, I'm gonna miss you.
Shouts to Wabash.
Yes.
So they had four records that I know.
Such a deep cut inside joke.
Yeah. See, they had four records I know, like just off the top of my head.
So you, what was it?
Girl, You Know It's True. Blame It on the Rain.
Uh huh.
Don't forget my number.
Uh huh.
And Girl, I'm gonna miss you.
You got me on Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. I'm asleep.
What band is this?
Million Vanillion,
man.
Okay. They didn't do I Can't Stand the Rain.
Stupid. You ain't nothing, man.
No.
I'm dead serious. I don't know.
No, they didn't do
who
that.
Who did that song?
Ann Peebles.
And Missy.
Ann Peebles?
Missy. Well, Elliott.
Missy sampled it from Ann Peebles.
Oh, yeah.
Ann Peebles is okay. The...
Looking out of my window.
Ann Peebles, if I'm not mistaken, is a sample for...
No.
Is she the Charmelles. I'm sorry. It's the Charmelles. Yeah. Never mind. The Charmelles. I had to go back.
You want to play a game?
All right, Saul.
No, Jigsaw. I don't wanna.
All right. Before we get out of here, let me try this.
All right.
What if I'm going to read some lyrics and I want to see who can guess the song first? We need a buzzer.
We don't have one.
Well, you're just going to have to yell really loud. Are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, yo. My whiz play the flute.
Ghostface. Bulletproof wallets. Come on, Lone. I know the record.
I strolled through the forest like.
It's the trick. Oh, come on. It's the forest.
There you go.
The forest, Ghostface. Yeah, y'all didn't think I was going to get that.
I didn't have any.
Yeah, bulletproof wallets.
Yeah. Hey, yo, my whiz play the flute. I stroll through the forest like, peace, these trees, hello.
All right.
Yeah, I did good there. That's
why. How does she play the flute? Well, which pair of lips?
All right, now.
She's got to put her mouth in a very specific type of way to get the airflow to come out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. That'll do it for this episode. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe. We're on the chase to our 100,000 plaque on Bringing Down the Band. Shout out to my man Longevity. That is his baby. We're getting close. Like I said, if you see it, like it, subscribe, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.